Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion.
You're listening to Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
Morena, Penny.
Morena, how are you?
Good. How are you?
How are you?
Good, thanks. Dry, which is good.
Dry. Good. That's good.
Lovely.
I'm excited to get into this. We're talking about kefir.
Yes, I was just kind of interested in its origins and its history.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd look into it. For people who don't know, it is also known as a hatta and is a traditional Arab headdress. But it's at the moment, I guess it's prevalent because it's a symbol of Palestine and solidarity with Palestine. Mm. But it's got a very long history. I thought I'd look into that. Basically, it's believed to date back to ancient Mesopotamia, which is about 5,000 years ago. And then Bedouin tribes were among the first to widely adopt the headscarf for its practical function to shield against hot sun, the cold, and sand. And it's a simple, durable design that has led it to kind of spread across the region. And there's lots of different colours. You can get red and white and green. But white and black is the symbol of Palestine resistance. And it said that the bold black stripes on the edges symbolise the historic trade routes that used to go through Palestine. The fishnet design represents the Palestinians' ties to the sea, and the curvy lines resemble olive trees.
Mm. Beautiful.
Which is really cool.
Yeah, I feel like we've seen a lot more like kefir appearing sort of in red carpet settings and used by designers and stuff as well as a statement of solidarity, eh?
Yeah, no, most definitely. And I guess that's one of the things that kind of drew me to kind of have a look at the history, because I feel that now people understand the politics behind it, and so they can wear it and it's not cultural appropriation. It's just showing, you know, solidarity. But in the kind of, you know, throughout history, especially in the indie sleaze era of the late 2000s, it became kind of a fashion trend and people didn't really know the meaning behind it. So it was being manufactured by Urban Outfitters and lots of different colours were created and sold at Camden Market, and it kind of became, if you look at photos of that time, you know, people are wearing their skinny jeans and their bed-up T-shirt, but also a kefir in a different colour. I mean, David Beckham, Rihanna wore them. Balenciaga had a version in their 2007 collection. Ralph Simons, Carrie Bradshaw in the 90s wore it. Sex and the City. Yeah, and then even like as late as 2017, Topshop used the design in a festival play suit, which was later removed. So at the time, people were asking if, you know, those wearing it in the Western world really knew what it meant, because it did go through also a brief period of time where people felt that it was a symbol of terrorism, but I feel like they just didn't really know the full, you know, history behind it all. Mm. We'll go back to like the 1936-38 uprising against British rule in Palestine, which, you know, they were calling for independence, and the kefir became the symbol of that defiance. And because it was seen as something that, you know, farmers kind of wore it, and in the urban setting it was the fez or tabouche, which is the red hat with the tassel on top. Mm-hmm. That's what urbanites wore, and Palestine united both the rural and the urban settings by encouraging people to wear the kefir as a sign of unity, but also help, because a lot of the resistance fighters were from the rural areas, so it kind of hid them among the population.
Mm, which, that's so interesting. I feel like I kind of always thought of it as like definitely an ancient and traditional piece of clothing that's only recently been adopted as the symbol of resistance, but it's obviously been a symbol of resistance for a long time.
Yeah, and then like in the 60s, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, which is headed by Yasser Arafat, And I'm old enough to remember him, and he always wore one, and he would arrange it in a shape that resembled a map of Palestine on his right shoulder, and he wore it with army fatigues. Then there were different colours that associated with kind of the Islamic resistance movement and Hamas and things like that. But it's definitely the black and white one has stayed as the symbol of anti-war movement in the Western kind of, like the USA and stuff, with Vietnam. And also it's a signifier of anti-imperialism and leftist politics. Like Fidel Castro wore one, and Nelson Mandela wore one and said, "We know too well that our freedom is incomplete without the freedom of the Palestinians," when he was working in South Africa against apartheid. And you can buy them in a lot of different places, but the best place to actually buy them from is from the only weaver that's actually making them still in Palestine. It's called Hubawi, and I think they can produce about 5,000 a year, but they've got if you go to the website, most of them are sold out, but you can pre-order, and because they're the only factory that's still weaving there, whereas a lot of them come from China, they've kind of gone offshore. And if you want to check it out, you can go to the website, which is kufiya.org. It's just quite, I think it's a very interesting piece of clothing that has such a strong history, and but can show, tell you so much. I didn't know that the Palestinian flag was banned from about 1948 up until 1993. And so the black and white kafia became kind of almost like the default Palestinian flag.
And that's where the symbol of the watermelon came from as well, right? Not being able to to carry Palestinian flags in protest.
Yeah, which is great. I just didn't know that. And I was quite flabbergasted that, a country's whole national identity is their flag, and then, that gets taken away.
For sure. It's really, it's made me think about some of the really cool designers and stuff I've seen in Aotearoa adopting this pattern. One person in particular, I saw it on Instagram the other day, and I've just found her. Her Instagram is Crochet Bay, and she does these beautiful, this beautiful knitwear, and she's done this amazing, matching cardigan and skirt, and it's inspired by the kefia design, and it's got red, green, white, and black sort of around the borders, and it's really stunning. I think she wore it to Fashion Week, actually.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll send you a photo. It's cool.
Yeah, that's cool, because, there's a, there's a lot of clothing being manufactured now with the watermelon on it, which I think is really, really cool. There are some photos on The Guardian of people attending a Palestinian protest, and they're wearing these amazing, they look like Hawaiian shirts, but they're Hawaiian pattern, watermelon patterns. I need more coffee.
Yeah. So cool to see fashion becoming one of the sort of mediums for resistance, eh?
Yes, yeah. Yes, most definitely. I think it's a really good way to show your solidarity and support, the Palestinian people.
Awesome.
Nice.
So fascinating. Thank you so much, Penny, for joining us for another awesome rendition of fashion. Have an awesome week.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Penny. Bye.
Bye.
That was Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad, and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.